Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're here to encourage you this Thursday morning. And joining me on this time of encouragement is the one, the only, John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, John. Also joining us this morning to encourage you, to inspire you, to tell you, listen, all them things are lies, and God is the truth, and greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world, is the producer of VFN Radio, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Not only the man, but the Ed McMahon. We're going to shout out this morning to our new listeners. Good morning, Rick and Lynn and Jamel and, oh my goodness, Jasmine. So glad to have you on our audience today. Vernon and Megan. Hello, Megan. Sue, Maurice, Doug. Man, we just keep coming and we just love our listeners. And Dennis and Cindy and Steven and Eric and Justin and Tony and welcome to the VFN Radio program. We're so glad to have you in our audience. We'll give a shout out this morning to Najina. Good morning, Najina. We're doing it. We're doing it. Also, we'll give a shout out this morning to New York. Good morning, Joanne. Love those pictures from the hospital there. Awesome, 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 awesome. Good morning, Abraham. Good morning, father of many. Give a shout out down to South Florida. Good morning, Cindy. Good morning, Kevin. Give a shout out to New Jersey. Good morning, Debbie. Good morning, Sophia, with your new iPhone. Oh, my goodness. Tony, what a blessing. What a blessing. Eddie, Insanity, how is it going? I need to hear from you, man. Good morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning to encourage you, to inspire you, to enlighten you, to activate you is John Ramos.
Good morning, John.
Also joining us on the program this morning to be able to do the very same thing is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Man, the new listeners, we just love to have you guys. You're coming in from all around America and the world, and we just want to welcome you. We're in a conversation here. We're in a conversation that we believe that God wanted us to have about Him and about His creation and about how much He loves you and has a plan for your life. And it's not as difficult as religion has made it out to be, nor is it as lighthearted as the rebellious has made it out to be. But there's a tension between the kindness and the sternness of God, who loves you and for once and willing to forgive us, you know, on this journey called life. But first, I want to say this to our listeners in New Orleans. I'll give a shout out to Leo and Sandy DeJesus, yes, who are living right in Gretna on the edge of the Mississippi. I mean, you could see the Mississippi at the foot of their house, just right on the other side of the levee there, that they have 24 inches of rain, and Isaac continues to pour rain and hover over New Orleans. And you have to understand New Orleans. New Orleans, imagine a bowl of your cereal, you know, and then lands all around the outside of your bowl. It's a hole. It's a bowl. Mm-hmm. And that it's not good when you keep pouring milk in your cereal bowl. Eventually, it just overflows. And they're at 24 inches of rain, and it continues to come. It continues to come. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
It is totally amazing what's taking place. And so I just want to encourage you this morning to pray for New Orleans. Pray for the church in New Orleans. Pray for the people in New Orleans. Pray that God would cause this storm to move on, you know, and that it would stop and the rain would just stop and the water would go away. But I really believe, you know, prophetically, because we're always not only looking at the truth, but we're finding out, shining the light of God's word on that truth to find out what the perspective is. And in that, you know, I can't help but understand and see where originally when Katrina hit, because we were part of the five hurricanes when they came, right. And we were recipients of the destruction, and we walked through the destruction where I saw a lady standing on a slab in Biloxi, I believe it was, or a Waveland, maybe.
Yeah.
She's standing on the slab of her house, and everything is just down to rubble, like it's been crushed, and she's crying in the middle of all that, of course, and, you know, there's nothing you can say about that. I mean, there's nothing you can't replace. I mean, it's just brokenness, and, we're still scarred, you know, in our hearts from that, and we'll carry that scar to eternity, I believe, because of the pain and the suffering, and you can't fix it. You just can't. Yeah. All you can do is just kind of bandage the wound, but there's still a wound there. All you can do is, you know, build something new, but all your treasures and all of her pictures and stuff that she was trying to pick her pictures and you know, things that mean something to you.
Yeah.
You know, there is something more valuable than money.
Mm-hmm. You know, I saw this morning there's still 800,000 people without electricity.
Wow.
And just having gone through that, you know, you have small children and just the, you know, the heat and it's just the mosquitoes and all the things that happen right now.
Well, that's huge. The West Nile virus, you know, which is kicking up a huge notch. Yeah. And Louisiana is one of them. And we had the greatest outbreak in the history of America since we've been keeping record of the West Nile virus.
Mm-hmm.
And there's outbreaks in Louisiana is one of the main ones.
Yeah.
And so we just need to even pray about that, you know, as well, that would stop. But understand there's no air conditioner, therefore you got to open the windows up, and then you got the mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
food, you know, things to eat and drink are scarce at times like that. It's just a tough time. And having gone through it, you have a sense of
empathy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Empathy.
Absolutely.
But I do want to say prophetically, you know, shining the light of God's word on this, looking at God's perspective is that this, it's not just New Orleans. This is Americans.
Yes.
You understand that this is Americans that are experiencing this pain. This is Americans that are being flooded out right now. This is Americans. It was Americans that lost all their homes through the Tuscaloosa, Alabama, horrific, you know, tornadoes. It's Americans that experienced Katrina and Ivan and all those things. And you understand this is, we can't just compartmentalize a nation and say, oh, that's them. This is what, you know, they tried to do this with Jesus. They said, Jesus, is the reason why these towers fell on these people, is it the reason why they fell, is it because they were evil?
Mm-hmm.
And he just doesn't even go there. He just goes, listen, unless you repent, you're going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if all the things, you know, what's it to you? He's saying, this is all of us. This is a message to all of, the towers falling was to all of us that life's not forever.
That's right.
And when the 9/11 happened, that was not something against the people in the building in 9/11. That's horrific loss. They're Americans.
Right.
That was a message to all of us from our God that he could lift his hand of protection. And then came Katrina and the gross, slow, progressive devastation, because the hurricane actually hit in Waveland, but the dikes or the dams or the levees broke in New Orleans, and then the flood, because it's a bowl, the water started coming out. It wasn't the winds that hit New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the rain that hit New Orleans. So here we are with the rain again, you know, coming in there. Waveland was flat.
Mm-hmm.
But when Katrina means purity or
cleansing,
you know, and you know, I believe the Lord was saying to us as the church, you know, we need to deal with our sin. We need to deal with our heart, you know, because America has been hit. Our brothers have been devastated, and we're watching them stranded in the streets and stranded in the superdomes. They were not African Americans that were crying out. They're Americans that were crying out. This is us. You know, when you saw the law enforcement in New Orleans looting the stores in uniform, that wasn't New Orleans law enforcement. That was America. That's American law enforcement that was in there looting the stores. God was showing us a picture of what can happen if we don't deal with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, we're the human race. You know, God loves us all. We're all the same, as we learned about how dealing with God. God says, you know, that the rich man and the Lazarus, God's made them both. And understanding that he's the maker of all of us. And so, but we didn't respond. As a matter of fact, Mayor Nagin stood up in front of all the world and he cussed God's name. He used God's name in vain, and he credited that for them getting help down there.
Yes.
And not only that, he comes to a meeting where John and I were at, and he calls a group of ministers together, and he's going to share his story. And we weren't in New Orleans, we were somewhere else. And then he comes to talk, and he invited a group of Christian ministers. And he bragged about cussing God's name in vain, using God's name in vain. I was shocked. And not only shocked, I was shocked about the applause that came from the church that said, he just cursed your God. You know, and now he's giving credit to scripture that he read that led him on the pathway back. Anyway, listen, that was Katrina, and we didn't change. As a matter of fact, we became more demanding, and things happened. And so now here we are, you know, all this thing has happened. We're days away. We're going to talk about today of our president bringing an antichrist religion on the stage of the Democratic National Convention for 3 days. They say that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. It's Islam. And they're going to promote it for 3 days in the context of the people that you're going to find out that they're bringing. There's part of the organization. They're part of bringing the Muslim Brotherhood to America.
Wow.
You're going to be shocked at some things you're going to hear today. But this is not, it's not even about him, or it's not about Islam. It's about us, the church.
That's right.
He says, when I fashion a sword against you, when I bring a sword against my people, if you don't warn them, then that's what we're doing. You know, we're letting you know. You know, but we can. He warns us because it is. We can respond. We can change. And when now we have Isaac coming in, and the immediate word was, and you can see this on the VFN torch or on your highlights. Go to your highlights now. You can see them. Is that it was a warning shot fired over the bow of America, a ship's front end of a ship, which is a warning, and it didn't hit the ship. But where does it end up? It just covers the very same territory that all five hurricanes, including Katrina, hit. Did you notice that?
Wow.
All five of them, because nobody knew if they were going to experience what we experienced in the past.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it goes, and Isaac, the name means laughter, where Katrina means
cleansing and purity.
Cleansing and purity. Isaac means laughter. Well, you got to go to, you know, Hurricane Isaac, a warning shot fired over the bowel of America, and read that Proverbs chapter 1. Where it talks about God will laugh at our disaster,
right.
You know, and that we don't have, this is all warnings. We can respond right now. You need to get this, share this on your Facebook.
Yeah.
Get your family and friends, get people that are in your gathering. I don't care if you're in a mega gathering or you're in a micro gathering or if you're in a coffee shop. Tell them they have to subscribe. They need to subscribe now to VFN, download the VFN TV app, watch it online, whatever you got to do on your iPad or whatever, and start listening to these prophetic words. They're available now on your app. The prophetic words are there. We have things in the VFN torch for you. We have in VFN TV talking very specifically about this. This very Islam that our president, Barack Obama, is bringing on the stage of the DNC, and that's Democratic National Convention. He's over, by the way, the president's over the Democratic National Convention, that they have a strategy. They have a strategy. What God has revealed to us, what God's revealed to John Paul Jackson, what God's revealed to ministers around the nation, they have a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And even Louis Farrakhan knows it.
That's
even right. Louis Farrakhan, and you can see this on VFN TV. You go to VFNTV.com and watch. You know, God does speak. For God does speak. You can listen right now to a prophetic conversation from ministers around America. And you want to hear it before it happens. You don't want VFN TV to be a history channel for you.
Mm-hmm.
You want it to be a prophetic warning that you can respond to and get everybody. Listen, instantly, we can have everybody, if we desire to, if a YouTube video of a cat doing something funny, you know, gets over, you know, 500 million hits.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If Justin Bieber, you know, can get over a billion of views.
Yeah.
Then we can instantly have America hear this prophetic warning. But will you warn them? Will you give them access? This hurricane right now, this hurricane laughter, Hurricane Isaac, is hovering over New Orleans, the very place where, you know, that we were supposed to respond as Americans were getting hit by this hurricane. Hurricane Katrina, which means to cleanse and to purify, and we didn't do it.
Right.
We just continued on and just did what we did and did more of what we did.
And building and bringing it back, you know. We've heard so many from feedback and comments from our VFN Radio listeners, and I want to encourage, partner with us. You know, you're being stirred up and you're being encouraged by this word, and you are want to hear the prophetic warnings. You can partner with us by doing just as Greg just said, continue to share it on your Facebook, download the app, write a review, and let's continue to share this word all over the world.
Yes, yes. And that's it. You know, if we do share, if we do warn, he says their blood won't be on our hands. And understand, we're not just talking about, you know, what's about to happen and what we can change from happening, but we're also have a conversation about being the church.
Yes.
That we can be the church again. God wants his church back. He doesn't care where it meets, but he wants it to be his.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
He doesn't care where it meets and what it meets in. He just wants his church back. I got to tell you about a situation and understanding, no matter what, that we can adjust, but we'll be right back after this, and I'll tell you about it. Yeah, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, began, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get, men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it, and then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. And then when he would preach once, think about it, when he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people. All across the nation, we've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come and they like us on Facebook or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just, for like $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just, you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you, because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything. And I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ. That he is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that he can. And he wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your heavenly father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
I mean, when your dentist trains you up to be able to you know, how to brush your teeth, you know, this is the way we brush our teeth, right, you know, right? And so, and they tell you over and over again, they say, you know, you need to use a real soft toothbrush, you know. And I was always the one that's like, get me, you know, a wire bristle thing, we'll get this thing cleaned up, you know, or whatever. And, you know, a couple of sweeps and it's, oh, just thinking about it, my teeth hurt. And so, and so they're always, you know, telling you, you know, that you got to be very careful how you brush your teeth. And they did, you know, obviously I guess they don't tell us now because they think we got to figure it out by this time of our life. You know, one guy tells me, you know, I take real good care of my teeth. I put them in a glass every night. And so, you know, with that, you know, I had a chance to go to the dentist, you know, recently. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to the dentist, the very ones that tell us that we're supposed to use soft, you know, toothbrushes that sometimes are so, it's like, really? Right?
You know, can you feel it?
Can right. you feel it?
Yeah.
You know, and then she leans into my mouth with like metal tools and starts poking at my teeth, scraping, poking. I'm like, this is metal. I have never used metal in my mouth. And you're telling me that you're going to use metal against my tooth and I couldn't use a hard toothbrush? What is this, you know?
Right, right.
And it's just like, oh my goodness, if we had tools like that. And so I found out, you know, obviously, you know, that they're wanting us to come back so they can take that off instead of us, mm-hmm. so we can actually pay them.
Right, right.
Everybody needs work, right? Even your dentist. But I can't believe metal tools, man.
That's yeah.
Oh, totally something.
Thank you.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the next part of the first hour is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. Well, I want to share with you, you know, there's something we need to, you know, remember that we have the ability to adjust. I mean, we can't, God's designed us, you know, we're created in his image and his likeness, and we have the ability to adjust to our conditions, to what's happening around us. And understand this, you know, of course, if the thing that the rich man and the poor man have in common is God made them both, which means, I mean, look at us all across the earth, all the human bodies that are across the earth and human beings living in all kinds of conditions, and understanding that, you know, the human body is adjusting to these different conditions. And speaking of that, reminds me, you know, years ago when I was in law enforcement, that, you know, I thought to myself, you know, I thought, I will never, ever, 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 which means that's the next thing I'll be doing. I will never, ever, ever get a minivan, you know, because, you're newly married, you know, and, you know, Megan and Amber are my two daughters, you know, we're real young right there. And, you know, you just think, if you get in a minivan, if you're a man riding a minivan, that was back
then.
Come
on, man. Now
they're styling today. They're styling today. You know, but back then, you know, it was a little bit different. And so, you know, it wasn't a VW van, but it was a minivan. And
I remember that van.
You remember that van. And so we wanted to go to the Grand Canyon. We wanted to go all the way from Florida all the way to the Grand Canyon, which is a long ways. And we wanted to go camping. Well, obviously, my Corvette wasn't going to work. The Camaro wasn't going to work, you know. So... And so what we did was we went, next thing you know, I don't know what happened. I sneezed or something, and I'm riding Interstate 10 West, and I'm in a minivan, and I was in a daze when it happened. I didn't realize it was going to really happen. But next thing I realized is I'm riding Interstate 10 West to, you know, just there's nothing between you. Interstate 10 is the most boring interstate in the world. It's strictly a driveway for the military, I think. Anyway, so it dawned on me. I'm in a minivan, you know, and so we were on our journey. You were on a journey. And at that time, you know, I was a clean person. I liked things clean, you know. I mean, even, you know, my police cruiser, I would wash my cruiser, and I would shine it all up and all these different things, you know. And sometimes I had to put it on a hill and wash it out with a water hose. Anyway, so, you know, with that, here I am, you know, this I'm in the minivan, so it's over. It's over as we know it. And I'm driving west to this big pothole, no, to Grand Canyon, and I'm ahead. We're just excited about this. And we're going to camp. No, we're not going to do it, you know, the way that many people do it with campers and, you know, what do you call those things?
RVs.
Well, I was thinking about more like an RV.
RV.
But I didn't have a pop-up either. It was like pull it out and set it up. And so... The first place we stopped, and you know, we went through Florida, we went through Alabama, we went through Louisiana, and we ended up in Brownsville, Texas. We were in Brownsville, Texas. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you have it all together, all organized, and, you know, all the stuff was going on, and Donna's a detailed organizer type person, you know, and she had it all kind of laid out. And so we're looking around for a camping spot. We're trying to find a camping spot, and, you know, first of all, you don't want to be on the ground in the first place. So you're looking around for a good place to camp, right? And I looked to go, I saw, I thought, oh my goodness, this is a beautiful grassy area right over here. And I think that's where we got to set up our tent. Not only was it beautiful and grassy, it was like thick, plush grass. And I couldn't figure why people were camping. I was like, anyway, this must be God, because he just spared this place for us, you know? And so we go over there, and it has like even this beautiful shrubbery hedge. It's maybe about, I don't know, 6 foot hedge, four, you know, 5 foot hedge that's trimmed and plush. I'm thinking this is like a pocket of beauty. You know, this is beautiful. So here we are. We set up our camp on the grassy knoll, and we start cooking and fixing food, just having this great time or whatever. And we finish eating and we take every single utensil. And we have like a bucket for washing and a bucket for rinsing. And we washed everything.
You guys are good.
Oh, dude. Oh, man. Hey, we was, you know, we was going to do it right. Even though we was in the dirt, you know, But we didn't realize God was going to teach us how to adjust. I got some stuff to tell you here. And so here we were washing. I remember I can visualize that fork right now. We were cleaning that thing off and cleaning that spoon off and cleaning that plate off. I think we had, I don't know. And it was just so clean. And so we go to sleep that night on the grassy knoll, surrounded by the beautiful hedge. And all of a sudden, early in the morning, early morning, we didn't hear a rooster crowing. We heard an RV crowing, because on the other side of that shrub, a few feet away from us, where we were sleeping, was a dumping station where every RV was going there to dump their
stuff
in a hole in the ground. And that's why the grass was so green.
Oh,
and it's like, oh, my goodness. And we're like, quick, back, go, quick. And so, but then, you know, when you have RVs, they have this blue stuff. Yeah, they don't have, they put stuff in their water that makes it sanitize. I don't know. It makes it smell terrible, but it doesn't smell like what you think it smells like. It's the blue stuff.
Right.
You know, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's all over the place. And so we're packing and getting out. And from that point on, in the beginning, our first day we camped, we smelled like the blue stuff. The tent, we smelled like the blue stuff.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, okay, this is going to be great, you know. And so then we drove all the way across, you know, Texas, and now we're like in Kearsville, Texas, in the middle of nowhere. We passed Fort Lancaster, which was part of the Pony Express delivery system where you should deliver the mail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. You got email today, but you had a pony. Anyway, so the Pony Express at Fort Lancaster, and we're reading all the different stuff there, and all of a sudden we read one little sign. You had the kids, you know, around, walking around and stuff, and it says, snakes. Beware of snakes. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And we ran, jumped in the van, and took off. Anyway, so we drove this long, long driveway to somewhere. It was just like, where's rocks and tumbleweeds and sand? And is there a reprieve? You feel like that person, you know, in the movies, is just kind of walking through the desert hoping
is there a video of this?
It's like a mirage, you know. Is there a mirage here? We're gonna at some point we're gonna see something, you know. Seriously, tumbleweeds. We saw oil wells. I mean, Fort Lancaster was nothing but an old brick tipped over. They didn't have a picture of the pot, and they had somebody, by the way, on the government that was looking over that
that brick.
And so, I mean, we just went on, and finally, you know, we make it to New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the petrified forest, which are rocks that are shiny. I mean, there's nothing much difference. And so we're there, and it's just flat, and it's dark, and we're tired. And we were like, we refuse to camp in the sand one more time. So we're going to get to New Mexico thinking there was going to be a reprieve. And we get there, and we have these little old stakes that are about as thin as a tent stakes. They're about as thin as a toothpick, and you can't see what you're nailing them into. And I'm bounding them things, trying to get in there and to be able to set that camp up, you know. And they just bent. They kept bending and bending. I'm like, oh my goodness! So finally, we just didn't anchor it down. We blew up our rafts, went in there, little small rafts to sleep on. And as soon as we laid on them, it went, psh, and we were slept on a rock. The reason why the stakes wouldn't go into the ground is because I was nailing them in a rock. New Mexico is a rock. It's a rock. It's like, come on, come to Pensacola, come to the Gulf Coast, go to, you know, Jersey, go to somewhere where you got some, you know, what's up with that?
Yeah,
greenery and plushness and forest. And so anyways, you can tell, you know, I'm talking about, we can adjust. There's a way to adjust. And so needless to say, we're in Kearsville, Texas at one point, and Amber had gotten wet or something happened. And so by this time, you know, we're just like, I think Donna picked Amber up and kind of held her over the fire to dry her out. Oh my goodness. And I remember too that, you know, Megan just, she's like, I have to have this video chair. I want this video. It was nothing but a piece of cloth with a fold in it, right? And so she had to sit on the video chair all the way to the Grand Canyon. She didn't like that video chair. And so then we finally arrive in the Grand Canyon, you know, we stood there and we looked at the edge of it and we're thinking, whoa, this is a big hole. It's like we drove all this far for a huge hole. I mean, it's like, oh my goodness. And of course, it was beautiful, the lights and the sun setting and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, it's a mile drop down.
Mm. Wow.
And so, you know, with that, you know, we went to our camp. We're going to break our camp. And you understand, you're in the mountains now, so it's cold. It's very cold. And the water they have, it's not cold. It's one step shy of 16 degrees below zero.
It's like, wow.
It's like body parts will break off if you put it in it. You know what I'm saying? You don't, you just, whatever, you just kind of splash it at a distance in a hurry. It was so cold. And you remember how clammy we were when we first started, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here we are. We're about to cook, and Donna drops an entire raw chicken on the ground. An entire raw chicken on the ground. I picked it up. I looked at her. She looks at me. I look at that faucet, that cold water, and I just dust it off with my hand. And we cooked that puppy up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We can adjust.
Yeah.
You know, we can adjust. I mean, that was a huge transformation for me, being willing to dust off the chicken before you cook it versus clean it. And so but it didn't have a head on it, and it was already plucked. And so finally, I want to say that, you know, it just came time at some point when you're camping, you just got to have a shower. It was just time.
Yeah.
The water is freezing, right? It's just like, what do you do? What do you do? And so they said that you can have a hot shower. The park said you can have a hot shower, but it costs money to get a hot shower.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so I go down and I carry some coins. You got to have coins, like, you know, and you put coins in there. And I carried 50 cents for the shower. And I get in there, and it's like this whole bunch of shower stalls with curtains in it, you know, I guess for the guys. I guess it was the same for the women. And so you get in there, you put your, I mean, this is going to be a great reward. It's hot water. You know what I'm saying? This is going to be great. So I put in my two quarters, and all this hot water, man, it's like, oh, this is like heaven. Yeah, this is heaven, man. I'm sudding up. I got soap on my face. I got soap in my hair. And all of a sudden, man, that 50 cents runs out.
Oh, no.
I mean, think about it. I jump out of the flow, obviously, because I didn't want anything to freeze. And so I jump back and turn the thing off. And so I'm sitting there with soap in my eyes, soap in my ears, soap in my hair, with no change in my pockets because I had no pockets, thinking, how do you ask other men who are in those showers all? Do you have change? I mean, yeah, how do you knock on a shower curtain? Excuse me, sir, in there. You know you don't have pockets. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I am stuck. What do I do? You know, what do I do? And I'm just like pondering. I feel like it takes more than 50 cents to get soap off of you. You know, it costs, I think it was $2.75 if you really wanted to be clean. they put this in a brochure. You know, so here I am. I'm thinking, okay, you know, I'm going to have to get the soap out of my eyes and my hair. So I'm going to go. And this water is so cold. Imagine knives coming out of a faucet and hitting you. I mean, it's like cutting cold, you know. And so I'm bracing myself, you know, and I'm leaning forward. Just the head and the hair. Man, that stuff hits my face and hits my hair, and all of a sudden the soap just freezes to my face. It freezes. I mean, it was just terrible. I was like, that's enough. And I leave, and I go back and start looking for change. I mean, you don't take change when you're camping in the Grand Canyon. They should tell you, take change. But the big thing I want to talk about is that I adjusted. I adjusted. I went from a lazy boy chair, you know, to nice hot showers and nice dishwasher that cleaned dishes, to going sleeping by a dumping station in Brownsville, Texas, roasting our children to dry them in Kerrsville, Texas, and dusting chickens off in the Grand Canyon and freezing soap to my head. And we had a great time.
That's amazing.
Oh, we had a great time, you know. But it reminds me, though, because so many things are going on right now, and the reason why you would be panicking about what's going on, because you don't understand we can adjust.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God's designed us to adjust. And it's just, there's a painful process in adjusting. It was not like, I wasn't like, woo, great, I got soap in my eyes, soap in my hair, and I got no change. I mean, it wasn't like that. But I went through that, you know, and I adjusted. But it reminds me of Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 through 13. Paul talks about this. He says, I know what it is to be in need. Mm-hmm. And I know what it is to have plenty. So mm-hmm. Paul knew both things. He says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do everything through him, Jesus Christ, who gives me strength.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God's designed us to adjust. It's not, listen, America, it's not over because comfort and convenience is over. Your walk in God is just beginning because comfort and convenience God has been the God of America.
Yeah.
And you're going to rid that. And that's what a lot of people are freaking out about right now because they're about to lose their false gods. But realize it's false. Mm-hmm. But you're going to turn back to this true God who loves you and has a plan for your life. And you're going to adjust. I mean, think about it. He designed our bodies where when we move to warm climates, our blood thins so we can be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And when we move to cold climates, our blood thickens.
Mm-hmm.
So we can be warm. I mean, you didn't do nothing for that. Mm-hmm. God designed you that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're like, oh, I thickened my blood up a little bit. No, you didn't thicken your blood. You know, if your blood's so thick, why don't you go to the hot area right now and pass out? You know? And you just can't. God does that. Or think about this. When you work hard with your hands, with a real rough labor, at first you start getting a few blisters in your hand. But as you continue to work hard with your hands, God's designed your skin to thicken up. It'll thicken up and it'll get calluses on it. I mean, he's designed us to adjust.
Mm.
When you exercise, our bodies adjust. When we get stronger and stronger, it'll make an adjustment when you exercise.
Mm.
But all these things come through transitional times.
Mm.
You know, if you understand that it's just a transitional time and we're going to be in a better place and we're going to be stronger and we're going to be more thick skin, and we're going to be able to go through things we couldn't go through that we can't adjust. Listen, there'll be times of discomfort, times of pain, times of having to push through so that we can gain more. A muscle has to be broken down to less than it was when you started for it to build stronger than it will be. I mean, this is the way it works. This is how God's designed it. And hands have to first go through a blistering phase before they can be thickened. And your faith in God has to be tested. It has to go through something, some hardships, so that you can push through. I mean, he's why he tells us in James, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kind, because the testing of your faith develops something. Going through something develops something. It develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Yeah, what we're hearing is we're going through some stuff. I mean, maybe you're going through it right now. You're going through some difficulty right now. But if you get the right perspective of this difficulty and understand if you trust God through this, you'll be stronger. But if you throw your hands up and think that you had to have it the way it was before it was this way, then not only are you going to go back, but you're going to fall back. What I found out as I was crossing the country in this minivan, going on this cross-country camping trip, I went from being surgically clean to brushing dirt off a chicken and cooking it up and being satisfied with frozen soapy water on my face and in my hair. I realized that I can adjust. Listen, church, we can adjust, we must adjust, and we're going to have to go through something to build our faith up. We'll be right back.
Steve, have you seen our Facebook page?
Yeah.
Dude, it's awesome. You know, for all of our radio subscribers, you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/VFNTV. Every day, there's fresh segments that are posted on there, and it's a great way for you to stay connected and be in touch. I want to encourage you, too, to encourage your friends to like our page. We want to continue to get the good news out, to share encouraging stories, to share God's news behind the news, as well as informing you, educating, and inspiring you. Again, check us out at facebook.com/VFNTV, and don't forget to like us.
You know, John, I've been really encouraged, you know, listening to Greg you know, hearing about his, he's got a lot of direction about wanting to get, you know, start working out again. And I went to a local gym and, they had a membership fee, man. They wanted like $50 a month.
$50 a month.
Yeah. I was like,
that's kind of cheap, actually.
Well, my workout plan is just going to work just to save up that $50 just so I can have a membership fee to get into the gym to start working out. I'm like, this ain't working, man. You know? And I'm like, I just can't do the $50. And I was like, I gotta find something that I can, you know, that's going to encourage me where there's no subscription fee.
Really?
And I found out. Check it out. You can subscribe. VFNTV.com, become a subscriber. You get more content. You get more messages that'll encourage you. If you're not a subscriber, check it out. Go to VFNTV.com, become a subscriber.
Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network? And like, really, how do you explain this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to being the church instead of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation that has just been shared by God, how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly, truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org.
Do you remember the time that we were, you know, taking all these mentors and the fatherless and whatever out to the wilderness and we were raising money? You remember that? I don't know if I have time to talk about this. I might not have time to talk about it. And one of us came up with an idea that said, you know, we need to have a raffle. We need to have a raffle and, you know, we'll raffle off something that, you know, something that Americans might like, a TV.
Wasn't that John's idea?
Oh, that's right. That's right. It was John's. I'm sure it was John's. Mute his mic. It was John's.
Yeah.
And I said, but listen, if we're going to do this, John, I said, if we're going to do this, this is a raffle. It is not a lottery. You know, it is not a lottery. And I said over and over, this is not a lottery. We're just going to, you know, a dollar for a ticket or whatever. You get a chance to win a big screen TV or something like that we had. Mm-hmm. And in that, here we were on TV. We were on TV. And I sat there and they said, well, tell us what's going on. And I said, well, we're having a lottery. I mean, God had me eat so much crow. A lottery. I said, we're having a lottery. That is so funny, you know, that, you know, you can, you know, it was just.
How many shades of color did you turn?
I was dumbfounded, you know, and obviously God was dealing with me about, you know, it's a shame that you have to go to a raffle to do what the church should have done all along. Remember that? Because we were paying for our entire community to come to God in the concept of going into the wilderness and responding to the prophetic word. But that was hilarious. I'm like, this is not a lottery. And here I was on TV. What did I say? We're doing a lottery. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and you're in the first hour. And joining me in the first hour to encourage you is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton. Well, here we are, coming to the end of the first hour, and we just so much, I believe it's just encouraging just to look back at how God's encouraged us.
Yes, yes. Wow. Well, you know, we always try to bring in God's news behind the news, and I wanted to share a little bit what's going on around the world. But you know, Greg, I don't know if you saw this here, the country of Greece, it's being reported that they are on this, you know, their economy has been crashing and going down, but it says now they're on the brink of total and complete failure. The things have gotten so bad there now that they can't even feed their children. I think they're looking at 20% unemployment. And during the Great Depression here in the United States, back in 1929, that time period, you know, the unemployment went as high as 25%. But check this out. They're dropping off their children now to orphanages. Mothers can't take care of them anymore. They said that 67% of all businesses are 67,000 businesses will go bankrupt in 2012 in Greece.
Well, you think about it, I was watching the G8 just finished their meeting up in Camp David yesterday, and I'm thinking about the G10. Which are the 10 horns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're thinking, why doesn't the Euro, why don't they just dump Greece? And it's like, no, they want Greece under servitude.
Mm.
They want to be part of the end time. Remember, there's 10 horns, and those 10 horns, I believe two of them can disappear at some point. Mm-hmm. But you had Germany, you had all these different, you know, yesterday. And I just wrote it on my heart that it's already happening. You know, it just has not. That's why they're not. You know, I saw them go to Greece and said, listen, this is your last stimulus, but you must submit.
Wow.
Basically is what they're saying. You got to do. We'll do this, but this is how it is. Mm. And you think, why would they do that? Until the reason why they're bailing them out, because ultimately they want all the resources. That's why you bail people out when you're playing Monopoly, the game, because eventually you'll end up with Park Place. Well, this is real countries. And real nations. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Just dawned on
me. No, you're exactly right. And so they have them in servitude. And this is happening. You know, many are saying that, and the Lord already has showed us, and we'll share a little bit more about that here in a minute, but many economists are saying that is when Greece goes, Europe is soon to follow, and then the collapse will it's a domino effect. It's going to come over to the U.S. And the Lord showed us tough economic times. I mean, if you haven't seen it already, you need to go to VFNTV.com, collect the VFN Torch, and you need to see The World is Over in 6 Minutes. And this is where we shared.
The world as we know it, right? That what you had a dream was a reporter stood in front of the New York Stock Exchange and said, the world as we know it. I mean, we're not saying that. That's what God was saying. Yeah, yeah.
Right. We both had some prophetic dreams, and that was one of them, that the reporter saying in the middle of this dream from the New York Stock Exchange, where everything is standstill, in 6 minutes, the world's going to be over as you know it. And instantly, there was just great chaos.
Which meant the economy was going to fall, right?
The economy was falling. And then you had a dream or a vision in where there was money that was being sucked up like in a funnel.
Paper money. Yeah, the paper money was being removed off the face of the earth. You know, mm-hmm. And when you think about that, and digital money is what people are using today anyway. But David Wilkerson was the word that David Wilkerson gave, you know, was a prophetic man that when you start seeing the dominoes fall, so you're talking about Greece is like one of the first dominoes to begin to fall. Yeah. And the response is just get rid of this paper money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
and a lot of the economies in Europe are doing horrible as well. I mean, they're just it's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's for the church to really realize, you know, we need to if we haven't been honoring God. If we haven't been participating in God's economy, I'm going to tell you, this is going to be a good time.
It's a good time.
You know what I mean?
This is a really good time to start that.
Yeah. You know, I just had a conversation yesterday. Someone was reminding me that 3% of the church actually participates in tithing. You know, we're not, you know.
Which is honoring God and saying that he's the one that gave me this, right?
Exactly. And so we can't tip God. You know what I mean? We can't just throw a little, you know, pence offering there in the bucket and say we're doing something to God. When we're tithing and we're bringing our whole tithes to the storehouse, we're saying that, God, we want to honor you. We know that you don't need this 10%. It all belongs to him. It all belongs to him. And so all we're saying is that, you know, God, our total dependency is upon you. And that's what we got to return to. We've got to return to a place of humility, a total place of dependency upon the Lord. And not trying to prop up and serve, you know, money and mammon, money in this world. It's not it's all going to go. When it's all said and done, everything that you've been trusting in, if it hasn't been in God, it's going to be shaken, it's going to come tumbling down. And it's time for us to search deep and say, you know what? I'm turning back to God. I'm giving God what belongs to God. Because let me tell you something, it's going to happen.
Yeah. It's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen, you know, and that's the beginning of a prophetic word, because finances, you know, he says where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and we talk to you over and over again about, listen, you know, my sheep know my voice and follow none other. You want to hear God's voice on this side of this. You want to be found faithful. I mean, God will accept obedience after the storm, but the enemy's going to beat you up over that. The enemy's going to accuse you of saying the only reason you're doing this now is because you're suffering, but do it when you're not suffering. Mm-hmm. And you may be suffering, but do it before everything collapses. Give him, part of your, couple hundred dollar paycheck until, don't wait till you have only a dime and now you have to give him a penny of it, because, which he accepts the same ratio. He's into ratios, not amounts.
Not amounts, right.
But understanding that here we are, America, we have to respond to this. I literally saw the paper money, a vision mm-hmm. of the paper money being vacuumed. It was a huge vacuum in heaven and was sucking all the crevices and cracks and all of that. All the paper money was being sucked up. And then it was like a mountain because it's being sucked up to one like funnel area or something. And then the whole thing just turned into fire and it burned the paper money up.
Wow.
Well, I mean, how many people use paper money today? I mean, they're talking about buying mm-hmm. things for your phone. It's just, will we buy into this thing?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Will we buy? The reason why you're seeing economies pushed to the limit and the euro doing what they're doing, the European Union doing what they're doing to Greece, and what we see what's happening is that Second Heaven has a plan.
Right.
To push this thing over where people say, I need some reprieve. You remember, I gave this word too. I said, there's going to mm-hmm. be a day they're going to say, we will help you out. Listen, we will turn this, your money in your account will be digital, which is now, I mean, my daughter, works at a bank and mm-hmm. we have little banking industry people in our crew. And that it's all digital anyway. It's all digital. Mm-hmm. The thing is, will we buy into letting go of our paper? Also, but you can't invest in gold no matter what they do. A gold coin that buys a suit today will buy a suit tomorrow because it never loses.
That's right, or silver.
Or silver, and it has its value. Well, God bless you. We're coming to the end of the first hour. Stay tuned for the extra hour because we're going to talk about how the Antichrist religion is being invited to the Democratic National Convention and being given 3 days. And we're going to have somebody from an interview telling you very specifically about it and the word of wisdom. Those that are leaving, God bless. Catch the rest on your app or on your bfntv.com. And those that are staying, we'll see you on the other side in the extra hour.